Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Good morning. I'm reading from Luke 4, 16 through 21. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God.
About a decade ago, a preacher named Shane Claiborne was invited to give a sermon at a major youth rally. Innumerable hours and dollars had been poured into this major assembly, and the young people had gathered from all over the country. There was a band leading worship. The sound, the lights, the projection, everything was perfectly queued up to create an amazing worship experience for everyone in attendance. Everything was planned with precision and excellence, leading up to that moment where Shane would take the stage and deliver his powerful sermon. As the preaching moment arrived, Shane approached the pulpit and he opened his Bible and he turned to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. And he began to read. It took him 18 minutes to read the whole thing. It's 2.5 chapters in the gospel. But when he was done reading, he simply closed the Bible, set it aside, and took his seat. In an interview after the event, Shane was asked why he simply read from the Bible and then went to sit back down. In the interview, he said this, "Well, this was one of those conferences that, you know, it was led by amazing people and it was really well done, but it was one of those places with a little too much clutter. Sometimes we have a tendency to layer too much Christian stuff on top of the good news. And sometimes, I think," Shane continued, "sometimes the words of Jesus are best left, you know, sort of on their own." Shifting in his seat a little bit, Claiborne paused for a moment and he said, "You know, I have to admit, I sort of stole this idea from the Dalai Lama, who was speaking at an Ivy League assembly. You know, everyone had come from everywhere to hear him speak, and he simply stood up in the pulpit and held up a flower and stood in silence for 30 minutes while people stared at the flower." Now, I was not aware until I heard Shane's reference in this interview, but the flower sermon is actually a very famous part of the Buddhist tradition. It dates way back. There is a narrative tradition about wise spiritual leaders, not just this one occurrence, but many in Buddhist history, who took their place behind a pulpit and held up a flower, usually a lotus flower. And as the story goes, the first time this happened, only one person in the audience understood the message as it was wordlessly conveyed, the teacher gazing upon the beauty of the flower and beckoning the students to do the same. It is the simplest lesson And yet in a crowded room, only one was moved by it. There is another spiritual leader who behaves similarly and whose story is told in today's reading from Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus emerges from his trials in the wilderness, and he returns to Galilee and begins his teaching ministry. The gospel says that his message is welcomed in the Galilean synagogues, and everything seems to be going pretty well for Jesus, and so he makes his way to Nazareth, and the readers of the gospel know that this is his hometown. This appearance in the synagogue in Nazareth is a big deal. It's the kind of stage like at a youth rally where everyone has come from everywhere to worship together, to grow, and to learn. And so when the moment arrives, Jesus stands up. This is the young prophet, remember, whose reputation is growing and spreading like wildfire. The moment arrives, and he stands up, and he finds his place in the scroll and begins to read, adding no fluff, just reading from the text. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And after reading from the scroll, Luke tells us he rolled it back up, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. Knowing that sometimes Jesus' sermons could go on for a while, like the Sermon on the Mount, which took Shane Claiborne 18 minutes to read it, I wonder if something happened within Jesus' own mind when he was worshiping in Nazareth on that day. I wonder if he felt the same way that Shane felt at the youth rally. Did he look around and appreciate the intent and the planning and the beauty and all the preparation, but at the same time, did he get the feeling that there was just too much religious stuff layered on top of God's word? Did he feel that maybe the mission got lost in all the stuff? I saw a quote on Instagram this weekend. It was from Jesus Seminar scholar Robin Myers in his new book called Saving God from Religion, A Minister's Search for Faith in a Skeptical Age. And in that book, Myers writes, "Consider this remarkable fact. In the Sermon on the Mount, there is not a single word about what to believe, only words about what to do and how to be. And by the time the Nicene Creed is written, only 3 centuries later, there is not a single word about how to be, only words about what to believe." This powerful quote got me thinking about all the time, all the traditions, all the advancement and the progress we have made together, all the research, all the liturgies, all the hymns, all the theologies, all the practices, all the sermons, all the words and the ideas that we have added over time in faithful layers to an ongoing conversation between humanity and God, each one a beautiful expression of the love of God in a specific time and place, and yet each one another layer of stuff built as a hedge around the original words that Jesus himself used to teach us, to tell us very clearly what his message was and what his ministry would entail. I mean, even here today, we've been here, what, 33 minutes? Even this morning, we have joined together in prayer. We have added our voices to song. We have even sat in moments of silence, all with the purpose of gaining clarity about who Jesus was and what his mission was all about. All of it good and faithful. And yet I wonder if even we have covered up the text with so many layers of stuff that we can no longer receive the very thing that we came here to seek. The will of God incarnate in the person of Jesus. And yet here it is, plain and clear. In today's reading, it took Jesus 51 words to tell us who he is and what his mission is about. So maybe if we really want to see Jesus, if we want to understand the mission, maybe we should just let Jesus' words stand on their own so that we could then begin the faithful work of peeling back the layers to see Jesus as Jesus presents himself. And then maybe as disciples and followers and imitators of Christ, maybe we too could claim Jesus' mission as our own. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus began to read. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now go and do likewise. Amen.